Blast from Our Past Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Throwback Trivia Takedown. Here are your hosts, Adam and John Spees.
Welcome to Throwback Trivia Takedown, a no-holds-barred trivia match between two contenders fighting for nostalgic glory. I'm your host, Adam Spees.
I'm your co-host, John Spees.
And today, we're finding out who will be the final member of our Final Four with this elitist of eight matchups in our 2024 TTT tournament. In one corner, he's gone mad. He's crazy and distraught, frenzied and frantic, agitated and downright uncontrollable. He's the hysteric Eric Eade. What's up, Eric?
Hi. It's the first time you didn't use my last name.
I was happy. There you go. You sound obviously very hysteric right now. Not cool and calm and collected and ready for this very intense battle.
I could use a nap.
Yeah.
Can go ahead and take one. I'm good with
that. Can't
we
all?
All right. And your opponent for today, he's a bit slow, a little simple even, kind of blockheaded. In fact, he's downright dense. It's Justin Wentz.
The truest introduction ever in the history of TTT.
Only kidding. Justin,
not be a smart man.
I forgot to tell Eric. Well, people know y'all. Justin, remind everybody a little about yourself.
All right. Yes. Justin Wentz from Fernandina Beach, Florida. And I'm hoping Eric takes a nap right now. Yeah. So
there we go. Eric, I forgot to call on you to give a plug or anything like that, which you should do.
Yeah, listen to podcasts. I don't care which one. Just pick one.
Okay. All right. That's a fantastic plug. And now here's time for some fantastic rules.
Entering the ring are two contestants who will engage in three rounds of head-to-head trivia. Here are the rules. Round one consists of 10 questions in different pop culture categories focused on a decade that will be randomized. If you answer incorrectly, your opponent has the chance to steal. And the categories are movies, music, television, toys and games, sports, fashion, slang, news and politics, literature, and food. Round two consists of the same 10 categories, but this time your opponent gets to pick your category. Each correct answer gives you 10 points. In the final round, you may bid up to as many points as you've earned before answering the final two questions. The categories for the final questions will be picked by the contestants, but the decade will again be randomized from those remaining. You must get both answers correct to earn your wager. Now it's time for a takedown.
All right, now that we know the rules of our little show, I do want to get to know Eric and Justin a little bit better, but I do want to set up the intensity of this episode because we have another 200 Club member versus 200 Club member happening today, which this tournament is chock full of those. But what's most exciting is the two of you share the highest score in TTT history at 280. Eric, you did it back in episode 107. And then Justin, you did it not terribly long ago in episode 178. So 280. I am curious who will come out on top, and maybe if that will be, it probably won't be broken because you guys are going to be going back and forth, I imagine, knowing how smart the two of you are. But just wanted to throw this out there. This is a big one.
As I mentioned when I got that 280, I said, don't forget Trent Dilfer is also a Super Bowl winning quarterback. So
who?
Yeah, there you go. Exactly.
Brad Johnson? No?
Yeah, there you go.
Two? All right.
All right. And now I do want to actually get to know Eric and Justin a little bit better. And I don't know. Well, I noticed one of my good buddies, Max from the Ready to Retro podcast, just recently posted a picture of him and Amy Jo Johnson. Made me think about my 90s crushes. And I want to know, who is your biggest 90s crush?
That's the easiest question that anybody's ever asked me. So it begins and ends with Kathy Ireland. I don't know why. And I looked her up recently. It's still good.
Of course.
Still good.
She's gorgeous.
Still good. But yeah, from what was that? What's that movie? Necessary Roughness, like that sealed it in. And I ordered a calendar, and then my mom saw it. She's like, you can't have that.
So, That's probably decent parenting right there.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure she made my list on our 90s crushes episode.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. And Justin, what about you?
That's a solid guess, Eric, or a solid answer. Don't know how I'm going to top that. We were just talking about this the other day. I guess I'd have to say I go fictional character, but, you know, she's still a real person. Kelly Kapowski, probably my 90s crush. I was about the right age where I was like, hot chick on TV.
Sure.
So if I had to go with one, that'd probably be off the top of the head where I'd go.
Yep.
And she's still aging
Tiffany Amber Thiessen.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely gorgeous.
She's not exactly Kathy Ireland. So, yeah.
Well, I mean, one is a legit supermodel, but the exactly. other is she's gorgeous and talented actress and everything. Yeah, easy enough for me. John was right. Kathy Ireland was on his list, but Kelly Kapowski was on my list for the 90s crushes. So that means Justin is going to be going first.
I think that might be the first time I've ever gone first. I'm not sure. All right. Oh, I've been punching a lot of meat in a meat locker all week, listening to old Eric Eat episodes, seeing if I can, you know, watching the tape.
There you go. Yeah. Where, what kind of weaknesses have you found?
Do you come out swinging and just go sports or let's do it? What the hell?
All right.
We're going to start out in the 50s.
On August 29th, 1950, who became the first black woman to compete in a national tennis tournament? She would go on to win 11 Grand Slam titles, 5 in singles, 6 in doubles, all within the decade.
50s tennis. Maybe not the greatest
you asked for it, bro.
Strategy, exactly. I only have one name. I have no idea if this is right, but it's the only name I can come up with. I think it's Althea Gibson. That's what I'm going to say.
Althea Gibson is correct. Great job.
One name rattled around. It was the right one. Thank God.
That was. Very good. Where are you going, Eric?
Movies.
Okay.
That one is the 80s.
Alex Owens is just a Steel Town girl on a Saturday night looking for the fight of her life. Who played Alex Owens in 1983's Flashdance?
Jennifer Beals.
Jennifer Beals is correct.
And she is still gorgeous.
Yeah, very true. All right, back to Justin.
All right, let's go over to... let's go music.
You get the 50s again.
Oh, man.
Damn.
me. Just warming up my vocal talents, sir, because you're getting a trip to the throwback lounge. So, I need you to name the artist of this 19... That's not the right year. It said 1985, but that's certainly... Hold on.
I'll take it. Better odds.
Marty, we got to go back to the future.
All right, here we go. I just had forgot to change it from copy and paste on that part. All right. Name the artist of this 1959 Billboard Hot 100 number 2 hit with the following lyrics. Put your head on my shoulder. Hold me in your arms. Baby, squeeze me oh so tight. Show me that you love me too. Hey!
That one sounds exactly like the way I think the song sounds.
Maybe it is, maybe it isn't.
Exactly. If I sang it, those lyrics, that's how I would sing them. But nobody wants to hear that. Let's see. There's a song called Put Your Head on My Shoulder. I don't know if that's what you're singing. I mean, those are the words that came out of your mouth. Let's see. 59. I'm going to say Paul Anka.
Paul Anka is correct with Put Your Head on My Shoulder. I just decided not to change that one and just keep it as it is.
I was like, is he trying to trick me? Which way is this going?
There you go. Head games. Oh. Head games. Eric, we're back to you.
TV.
Dice are loving the 50s.
Wow. Okay. Special Agent Elliot Ness, played by Robert Stack, and his elite team of incorruptible agents battled organized crime in 1930s Chicago in what crime drama that first aired in 1959? A 1987 film adaptation was nominated for 4 Academy Awards.
The Untouchables.
The Untouchables is correct.
Just
Had to add that film thing, didn't you? I mean, I'm pretty sure Eric was getting there anyway.
Who doesn't love Robert Stack? All right. Justin, back to you.
Let's go news and politics, please.
It's the 80s.
Well, 50s and 80s. 50s
and 80s, yes. What soul singer felt good while he was high on PCP in 1988 and led the police on a chase that began in Savannah, Georgia and ended in South Carolina?
I assume that is... I have to get this right. I have to say the right name. I believe I visited his statue in Augusta a couple years ago. I feel good. James Brown.
James Brown is correct.
Whew, okay. You just second guess yourself. Even though you feel like you know something 100%, you're like, is that right? I don't know. No.
Good job. The man loves his angel dust. All right.
A man after my own heart.
And Eric, we're back to you.
Toys and games, please. Okay.
And it's the 90s.
What retail toy store was founded in 1922 by brothers Harry and Joseph Kaufman as a wholesale candy store? In the 70s, they began retail toy sales, and by 1999, the company operated 1,324 stores and was the second largest toy retailer in the U.S., but it later declared bankruptcy in both 2004 and 2008 before going fully out of business in 2009. Could put this question in any of those decades, but... Happens to go to the 90s one.
Toy stores. Read that one more time. You said second biggest toy store? Second biggest.
Yeah. What retail toy store was founded in 1922 by brothers Harry and Joseph Kaufman as a wholesale candy store? In the 70s, they began retail toy sales, and by 99, the company operated 1,324 stores and was the second largest toy retailer in the U.S., but it later declared bankruptcy in both 2004 and 8 before fully going out of business in 2009.
Yeah, it's KB Toys. All right.
KB for Kaufman Brothers is correct.
Nice job.
Justin, back to you.
In fact, Eric, I know you love the toys and games category, so I wore my You Have Died of Dysentery shirt today in honor of that. <That's good. laughs> It was the most toys and games related t-shirt I could find in my quick search through my closet. All right, let's go. I always go here and I always burn myself with it, but let's go with literature.
All right, literature coming at you.
It's from the 80s.
What 1986 graphic novel by Alan Moore follows several heroes as they uncover their comrade Ozymandias' plan to unite the world by sacrificing millions of innocent lives and blaming it on a fake alien invasion?
Once again, it burnt me. I know this name because I looked it up recently. This is going to frustrate me when I hear it. Can I have a reread, please, while I try to process it?
What 1986 graphic novel by Alan Moore follows several heroes as they uncover their comrade Ozymandias' plan to unite the world by sacrificing millions of innocent lives and blaming it on a fake alien invasion?
Oh, this is so frustrating. I was reading the Breaking Bad, like the titles of their episodes, and Ozymandias was one of those, and it led me to this, and I can't remember what the hell it's called. Let's just say, I don't know. I'm assuming Eric's going to jump on this. Pounce. I'll say The Watchmen. I know that's wrong, but...
The Watchman is correct.
Oh my god, that's the only graphic novel I can think of, but I didn't think he wrote it.
Oh yeah.
Oh, okay. Wow.
A couple times, I'm not sure if you were just playing with us though, because a couple times you're like, oh, I'm not sure about this one. You're just going to throw out some random answer. Yeah, it's the right answer. It's already happened a few
times. That was a 100% random answer. Okay. That's the only graphic novel I can come up with, outside of like Sin City or something.
All right. Eric, what would you like? We have fashion, slang, and food left.
Well, I am very fashionable, so we'll go with food.
Okay.
And your decade is the 60s.
Okay. What fast food chain introduced Pickle-O's in 1968? These golden rings of deliciousness were simple fried pickle slices It didn't last long on the menu, but resurfaced in 2003 for the chain's 50th anniversary.
50 years, so... Alright, let's go with Sonic.
Sonic is correct. Try to do a nice slight hint on golden rings, because that's what Sonic the Hedgehog picks up, gold rings.
Nice.
All right, Justin, slang or fashion?
I tend to actually do better in fashion, so let's go with fashion over slang.
Okay. I like it, strategy.
And you get the 90s.
What casual wear and lifestyle brand began in 1993 in Seattle, Washington? The idea was to provide a lifestyle of never leaving the beach, including printed silk shirts and tailored pants for island living.
Because when I think of island living and the beach, I think Seattle. Definitely. I've never been to Seattle, but I think of it as green and rainy all the time. Not beachy. Although it's on the water. Can I hear that one more time, please, just to see if I missed anything?
What casual wear and lifestyle brand began in 1993 in Seattle, Washington? The idea was to provide a lifestyle of never leaving the beach, including printed silk shirts and tailored pants for island living.
And silk shirts. 93 Seattle. That's just flannel and oversized jeans. Come on. Let's see. Only thing I can think. This seems like it would be out of California. I don't even know if they make clothes. I know they make sunglasses. I'll say PacSun.
PacSun is incorrect.
Damn.
Eric, can you steal?
Island Living, the only brand I can think of. They're normally hideous. Seattle doesn't make sense, but just based on Island Living, printed shirts, I'm going to say Tommy Bahama.
Tommy Bahama is correct.
Damn it. How did I not think of that? I live on a freaking island in Florida. Everybody wears Tommy Bahama everywhere. I'm so stupid.
Everywhere.
That's the dense wince right there.
Yeah. No. Doing just fine. Though Eric did get the steal, and we're going to end in slang for him.
And it'll be the 60s.
What two-word phrase seems to have gained popularity from a 1964 New York Daily News interview with Debbie Reynolds, who spoke of her father's reference to holding on to women's curves?
Read that one more time.
Mm-hmm. What two-word phrase seems to have gained popularity from a 1964 New York Daily News interview with Debbie Reynolds, who spoke of her father's reference to holding on to women's curves?
What?
And it might have been reverence, maybe not reference, but reverence to holding on to women's curves. Either way.
I don't even have a guess. Nothing that's appropriate. two-word slang. I'm gonna punt it. I don't know.
Okay. Justin, you got a chance to steal.
Oh, gosh. I hate it when nothing comes to mind. Let me hear it one more time, please. I'm sorry. I'll make you read it one more.
What two-word phrase seems to have gained popularity from a 1964 New York Daily News interview with Debbie Reynolds, who spoke of her father's reference to holding on to women's curves?
Debbie Reynolds. God. I don't know if this is something when I hear it, I'm going to be like, you made that up. That's not really slang. Which is occasionally the case.
Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes they're obscure. You know, we've had over 200 episodes now, and so yeah, sometimes you gotta dig in deep.
I don't know how you write slang questions, to be honest.
I mean, it's tough. The same decades, it's the same categories every time. We don't have the free-flowing freedom of some of the other shows, so we gotta get in there.
I'm with you. Some guy said this once. That doesn't count. Let's see. It's probably going to be something just totally blatant, like freaking Tommy Bahama. Holding on to women's curves. Everything I can come up with is like more than two words. I'll say love handles.
Love handles is correct.
Oh,
it's a handle. God. You hold on to them.
That's the only thing I can grasp. No pun intended.
Yeah.
That crossed my mind, but I'm like, that's whatever.
That's where it started. Yikes. All right, that is the end of round one. John, what's the update?
All right, well, both of them are keeping track with each other, including a steal each, so they are tied 50-50.
50-50. That's exciting. I would expect nothing less from our two top point earners. All right, Justin, as you got to go first in round one, that means Eric is going to be picking for you to start round two.
You can have slang.
Okay.
I showed my hand. Sorry.
Double slang.
And you get the 80s.
Okay. The first known use of what two-word phrase came in 1982 in a warning post about the Star Trek sequel The Wrath of Khan on a news group on movies?
I'm sure there's a clue in there somewhere. Just not finding it. Oh, I wish I had like even a educated guess on this one. It is not Tommy Bahama.
It could be.
That's good. Aren't you taking your nap yet, Eric?
Yeah.
Trust me.
Let's see. Wrath of Khan. Oh, I'm gonna make a lot of people angry with this one probably because I'm gonna say I have rarely watched any Star Trek ever. So if there's a hint in there, I'm not picking it up. Let's Ricardo Montalban.
Good answer.
It's always the answer.
Is not the answer. Eric, can you steal?
Only thing I can think of is if somebody's posting something about a movie and they don't want other people to be upset with them is spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert is correct.
Damn it. It was so right in front of my nose. Good job, Eric.
All right, Eric with the steal. And Justin, what do you want to give to him?
All right. Let's give him fashion.
Okay.
And it is the 60s.
All right, we've got a question from Jackie LaFave. Thank you, Jackie. The earliest beanbag chair was designed in 1967 and released for sale in 1969. It was pear-shaped, filled with styrofoam pellets, and made of leather. It was originally marketed with what name, which is Italian for bag, but also a former American right wing who played in the NHL from 1990 to 2003, most famously for the Mighty Ducks.
Thank you.
It couldn't have fallen, honestly, to a luckier person.
It's Sacco.
Sacco was the name of the beanbag chair as it first came out, but Joe Sacco is a hockey player.
I gave him fashion, not sports. I don't know what happened there.
I didn't know how to get people to Sacco other than Joe Sacco.
Avalanche.
Male former genitalia.
Former Avalanche coach, which made it easier. So, there, yeah.
All right. That's a backfire.
That's a backfire. And Eric, what do you want to give to Justin?
He can have literature. Okay. Or literature, if you would.
Yeah. Did I put more than one comic question in there? FYI, probably.
You have the 90s.
What 1998 best-selling novel by Barbara Kingsolver is about an overzealous Baptist minister who takes his family deep into the heart of the Congo on a mission to save the unenlightened souls of Africa?
Oh, man. Well, I'm thinking about that just so I can kiss ass a little bit. I don't know if you notice on my sheet, it's actually spelled litterature.
Yeah. There you go. Little bonus points. You get 50 right, cool so
get
points
to,
for that.
I
yeah.
get 10 points for that. I'm good.
No, okay, you get okay. cool points, and those are not redeemable.
What am I
for
picking
TTT?
For Eric now? Yeah. Oh, Barbara Kingsolver. Can I just have the summary of the book again, sure, after her name and year and everything?
An overzealous Baptist minister who takes his family deep into the heart of the Congo on a mission to save the unenlightened souls of Africa.
God, I know her name. This is a time when I, like, when Barnes & Noble was a thing and you would go and you would actually see books. I feel like I can picture this cover. All I can think of. God, I know. This is frustrating. I want to say the Book of Mormon because that's not, I know that's not true. Just a funny answer. let's say, Jerry Falwell goes to Africa. I don't know.
Jerry Falwell goes to Africa. Sounds awesome.
It's part of the Ernest series. It was kind of a spinoff thing. Yeah.
Is incorrect. Eric, can you steal?
I'm writing that down. I'm writing a book now.
Perfect. I'll send you my email and everything for the royalties. So.
All right. 8 cents. That's what you get.
Perfect.
All right. So this is right around the time when I was forced to read because I don't. So I graduated high school in 99 and this came up in 98 for summer reading stuffs. I want to say it was 98. I don't know. But I think this is the Poisonwood Bible.
The Poisonwood Bible is correct.
I knew when I heard it, I'd know it. I can picture the cover. Son of a gun. The funny part is all I could think of was, oh, what's that book? It doesn't matter.
Lord of the Flies.
It was No. It's something that sounds like the Poisonwood Bible, but it's about a diner or something. It's like the something, I don't know. Yeah. So well, I couldn't get that one out of my head if I'd have gotten there. Good job, Eric.
Yep. Eric gets his second steal of this round. Oh, Justin, damn. You got to give him another question.
Oh, you would. You're not giving him toys and games.
I promise there are no more Joe Sacco references in this episode. So there's at least that.
Okay.
What about Joe Sackick?
Yeah, Joe Sackick. I can't say the same for Joe Sackick. That might be a thing, yeah.
Let's go food.
And it's the 90s.
What alliterative brand of frozen meals was first released in 1990 and marketed specifically for children with the use of animated mascots BJ the Penguin and Chef, who was a polar bear?
See it. Kid Cuisine.
Kid Cuisine is correct.
Nice job, Eric.
Yep, very colorful. I remember we had some. They tasted like crap.
I wasn't allowed to have them.
I bought one several years ago for my kids, and I bought one for me just to try it again. They are absolute garbage.
Yeah.
They probably have like 5,000% of the daily sodium intake.
And sugar, all in one.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Eric, what do you want to give to Justin? Sports, toys and games, movies, music, TV, and news and politics are left.
News and politics.
And it is the 60s.
What pediatric treatment and research facility was founded by entertainer Danny Thomas in 1962 in Memphis, Tennessee? It focuses on children's catastrophic diseases and particularly leukemia and other cancers.
Okay. Finally, one I know. Make sure I say the right name, though, because I'll probably screw it up. Marlo Thomas still advertised for it. I think it's St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital or whatever.
St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital is correct.
Okay.
Woo. Good job. All right. What do you want to give to Eric?
Oh, let's see. Guess I'll give him music.
We finally have a 70s question.
All right. In 1976, Rick Dees and his cast of idiots took a satirical novelty song all the way to number one on the Billboard Hot 100. What was the name of this song about a musical mallard?
It's a Disco Duck.
Disco Duck is correct.
Damn it.
It's awful. It's awful. All right. Eric, what do you want to give to Justin?
You can have sports.
Okay.
And it's the 60s.
Wow, okay, a lot of 60s. In 1961, golf fans saw the first international golfer ever to win the U.S. Masters golf tournament. He would go on to win 3 U.S. Masters and 9 major tournaments in his career overall. Who was this South African?
Oh, thank you for giving me that. I would assume that would be Gary Player.
Gary Player is correct.
Chiseled. He is chiseled even at 800 years old. That man,
he's a beast.
Anyway,
love it.
I love watching him do the thing before the Masters where they all go hit. And still a specimen at 80 something.
Oh, geez, yeah, cool.
All right. Justin, what category is going to Eric?
Shoot, let's give him television.
And we finally have a 2000s question.
All right. What Fox series running from 2005 to 2009 revolves around two brothers? One has been sentenced to death for a crime he did not commit, while the other devises an elaborate plan to escape jail and clear his name.
Prison Break.
Prison Break is correct. All right, we are moving along. And Eric, what do you want to give Justin? Either movies or toys and games?
Toys and games.
That, that was a steal. Sorry.
It's the 50s.
Okay. Parker Brothers released what board game in 1955? To win the game, a player must earn a minimum amount of fame, happiness, and money that would be gained through their occupation paths.
I don't think I've ever played this game, but it sounds... I'm going to say the Game of Life. It sounds like that.
Game of Life is incorrect.
Damn it.
Eric, can you steal?
This is the game called Careers.
Careers is correct.
Damn it.
How did you know that one? I wasn't expecting... Like...
We had a lot of old board games in my like fake wall in our basement. Like, it would open up and there would just be games everywhere. And yeah, that was one of them.
That's one. Okay. All right, we are going to end in movies.
I said it would be a steal.
You're not out of it, though.
It is the 70s.
70s, okay. What 1973 science fiction Western film was written and directed by Michael Crichton? The film follows guests visiting an interactive amusement park containing lifelike androids that unexpectedly begin to malfunction.
Read that one more time.
What 1973 science fiction Western film was written and directed by Michael Crichton? The film follows guests visiting an interactive amusement park containing lifelike androids that unexpectedly begin to malfunction.
I feel like I should know this, and I'm spacing on it. I'm not going to talk to give anything away, so I'm gonna punt it.
Okay. Justin, can you steal?
I think I actually learned this recently. I had no idea if it's what I think it is. I'll make sure I say the right name. There's a TV show called Westworld, and I think it's based on a Michael Crichton film of the same name. So I'm going to say Westworld.
Westworld is correct.
Yep.
There you go. Nice. Okay.
All right, that is the end of round two. John, how are things looking?
All right, well, with all those steals, Eric got himself a good little lead. Eric has 120, and Justin has 80.
Yes, this is nothing is out of reach, but what I do want to say is that I believe this is only the third time in TTT history where all questions have been answered, at least throughout the regular game.
Mm-hmm.
I will say... I think Eric has been part of all three of them. The first one, I believe, happened with Eric versus Jeremy Goodson in your title run. And then the next one happened last episode for Eric, which was Eric and Alan Kreisel. And then now this one, Eric versus Justin Wentz. So, I mean, it's exciting. It's awesome. It's pretty killer. Great trivia happening right now.
Against Alan was amazing, by the way.
I'm not allowed to miss questions is what I'm learning, because everyone steals my questions. That's what I'm saying. Anyway.
That's good. All right. Eric, as you're in the lead, what category do you want to go into the final round first?
Sports.
Okay.
And it will be the 90s.
Okay. And Justin, what do you want to follow up?
Let's just try to have a fun final with good categories. We'll go with some movies.
Okay.
And that will also be the 90s.
All right. I need you two to send your wagers to John based on 90s sports and 90s movies.
John, Zoom's fine, right? I sent it through there.
Yeah. I knew this was going to be a hard-fought game. A lot of questions answered.
All right, both bids are in.
Okay. We will start in our 90s sports. Big Red is the official mascot of what NFL team? He hatched on October 4th, 1998, is 6 foot 4 inches tall with a 7 foot wingspan. And our 90s movies question. Doris Day's look and performance in the movie Calamity Jane inspired the look and voice of what Disney character who first appeared in a 1999 sequel? While our contestants are thinking about their answers, I want each and every one of you to go check out the Action Action podcast. The guys over at Action Action are doing phenomenal stuff. They are checking all these different action movies and shows and everything and just ranking them, letting you know, are they even action movies? It's a good time. Those crazy Canucks are funny dudes, and so I highly recommend checking out the Action Action podcast. Do either of you need a question reread?
That Disney or Doris, whatever, the movies. What?
Doris Day's look and performance in the movie Calamity Jane inspired the look and voice of what Disney character who first appeared in a 1999 sequel?
Can I do the sports also, please?
You can. Big Red is the official mascot of what NFL team? He hatched on October 4th, 1998. It's 6 foot 4 inches tall with a wingspan, with a 7 foot wingspan.
All right, I'm going to lock in, check in, whatever.
Okay.
Oh, man. Oh, God, I finally think I figured out who this is. I just can't come up with a name. All right, I'm just going to have to throw in the towel because I can't come up with it, and I have taken too much time. So I will... Let me write down whatever name I can come up with. That's wrong. All right, I'm locked in.
All right. Justin, with that confidence, as you are behind, I'd like to hear your answers first.
All right. I honestly should have probably thought about the NFL mascot longer because I immediately was like, well, it's red and it's a bird. The first thing that came to mind was the Falcons. So I don't know whether they have a mascot named Big Red or not. The second one, which is so frustrating me, the only name I can come up with is Joey, but I think it's Woody's girlfriend in Toy Story, but I don't know her freaking name. And I wanted it to be Jane, but it's not Jane because that's Calamity Jane. So I put down Falcons and Joey.
All right. And Eric, what were your two answers?
Big Red is the Arizona Cardinals mascot.
I'm so dumb.
And the thanks to my son, Miles. He loves her. He has tons of dolls. We just opened one of these the other day, actually yesterday. And it's Jessie from Toy Story.
Voiced by Joan Cusack. A lot of J's going around on that one. The correct answers are the Arizona Cardinals and Jessie from Toy Story 2. So one person not getting their answers correct, one person getting them. We do know the drama's out of this, but John, let us know the final score.
All right. Well, Justin bid 79, so he will end with 1 point. And Eric went all in at 120 and will end with 240.
Wow. So wow. You know what Eric does. You made a good call on that. But I do want to congratulate Eric on his 8th time joining the 200 club. 8th.
Oh, man.
I'm owed 7 pins.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't really do that except for that one time to Nick Rose.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
You said get to 10 and we'll talk. All right. We'll figure something out. All right. Well, Eric, you will be continuing down the road to take on Nick Groves in the next round, which will be a very exciting matchup. Justin, incredibly hard fought. You did very well. Hope you're proud of yourself. You are still a champion in all of our hearts. But now is your time to say anything you'd
all
like.
All right. Well, for starters, go take Nick Groves out. You know, I mean, we all want to see that. So. So, everybody wants to see Nick go down. Love you, Nick. no, thanks, guys. You guys put on a great show. This was fun. Eric, I was legit intimidated all week, and exactly what happened. So you're a great player. So always thanks. Fun. So I one of my proudest accomplishments in life. is tying your score. So I have the little thing framed in my office here.
Hey, there you go.
So, guys, thank you so much. Always a blast. Standard issue plug. If you ever happen to be in Fernandina Beach, stop by, play some trivia with us. Trivia 30, like the time. Otherwise, appreciate what you guys do. Eric, go in it all, okay?
Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you guys for another amazing matchup. Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Eric. Thank you, John. I'm Adam. This was another episode of Throwback Trivia Takedown.
Thank you for listening to Throwback Trivia Takedown. If you want to support the podcast, or if you'd like to be a contestant, go to patreon.com/throwbacktriviatakedown and pick a tier that's right for you. If you want to submit questions, you can email them to throwbacktriviatakedown@gmail.com. Please rate and review us on your preferred podcast platform. We'll see you next time when two new contestants go head-to-head in nostalgic knowledge on Throwback Trivia Takedown.
I'm John, and I'm the host of Action Action. Every week, I'm joined by James.
Heyo.
And Dustin.
Hello.
And each week, we review, debate, and rank a different action movie.
We're creating the ultimate list of action movies.
From awful to awesome.
So if you want to hear three more white guys with beards talk about action movies,
and argue about where they belong on our list,
and decide you hate us because we've made fun of your favorite movie,
join us every Tuesday, and you can find us on your favorite podcatcher.
And Steven Seagal is a joke.